right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. We've got a lot more stories for you guys, including what's happening in Charlottesville. I think the father's letter about his white nationalist son is both amazing and heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. So let me read a couple of quick tweets for you guys. The mathematician says the Republican statements against their friends was pure self-preservation for 2018. If you don't see that, you're brainless. There's a lot of truth to that, of course, but the reason why I find it important is because if all the Republican donors tell these guys, cut the shit out, mm-hmm. We're not gonna go in this direction. Well, remember, Trump needs the Republicans to stay in office. Mm-hmm. If it turns out he is in some sort of legal trouble, if all the other senators, because of their donors or whoever else is in power, have turned on him for things like this, that's still a great thing, no matter why they did it. Mm-hmm. And Art Murray writes, and unfortunately, hatred and bigotry has a place in America, and the address of that place is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It is really discouraging. Tara Rogers said, Bannon doesn't care if everyone knows what he's doing, so long as it's everyone minus dumbass Donald. And if you think about that, that's incredibly true. Otherwise, no one would be brazen enough to do it this openly. He's just, if you think I think Donald Trump is stupid, wait till you get a load of what Steve Bannon thinks of him. Steve Bannon thinks he's such an blithering idiot mm-hmm. that he can't tell that it's Steve Bannon planting the stories at Breitbart. God, there's no one in the country who thinks Trump is dumber than Steve Bannon does. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then finally, J.R. McLaughlin writes in on YouTube Super Chat. If you're on YouTube, use a Super Chat. It helps the show, plus we get to see your comments more clearly. He says, go to tytnetwork.com/join to support TYT beyond the Game of Thrones live watch parties. Well, that's very nice of him. So bless his heart, and membership does make the show happen. Thank you, guys. And you get the whole show ad free. But what he's referring to there is that we watch Game of Thrones together mm-hmm. on Sunday nights, and then we review it right afterwards. Last night, our review was 1 hour and 15 minutes, longer than that episode itself. But you know what? It was amazing. I'm not kidding. And it's not because of me, obviously. I was amazing. I was fantastic. I'll make your head spin. No, Matt and Meredith made some great points in the middle of that review. It's on youtube.com/whattheflickshow. You can also get it as a member too. And we figured out who the three dragons are going to be ridden by. Three dragons will have three people on them. Mm-hmm. Watch the review to find out who they are. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. GoDaddy has decided to cut loose the Daily Stormer, which it was hosting. And those of you who are familiar with the Daily Stormer know that it is a blog that's run by white nationalists that like to say pretty terrible things about Jewish people and minorities. And so after the murder of Heather Heyer, they decided, Daily Stormer decided, to publish a pretty disgusting blog post. And
so just let's pause here for a second. In case you didn't watch the news at all this weekend, Heather Heyer was the person who was killed in Charlottesville when a domestic terrorist ran into a crowd of peaceful protesters. 19 were injured and Heather was killed. The guy we now know is a neo-Nazi and sympathized with them and praised the concentration camps of the Nazis. So that's who did it. So Daily Stormer's reaction was to blame Heather Heyer.
Right. And so they posted a blog that said the following. This is the headline or the title of the blog. Heather Heyer, woman killed in road rage incident, was a fat, childless 32-year-old slut. Well, finally, GoDaddy had enough of this, and they decided to drop the Daily Stormer. In fact, they tweeted that they were informed, or they had informed the Daily Stormer that they have 24 hours to move the domain to another provider, as they violated the terms of service. Now, at that point, the Daily Stormer, the people behind it, decided to register with Google. However, Google also was not having any of it. On Monday, the Daily Stormer registered its site with Google via an automated process shortly before 11 a.m. Eastern time. About 3 hours later, Google said it had canceled the registration and that it may take up to 48 hours for that to go into effect.
Okay, so I guess people keep getting surprised that neo-Nazis are Nazis, that they favor fascism, they favor violence, mm-hmm. they actually hate people. They hate, and that is the point of their existence and their ideology. So since the president and his chief strategist are catering to the alt-right, there's an attempt, and there has been this entire time, to try to create some sort of false equivalency, as Trump did after the murder of Heather Heyer, by saying many sides do it.
Right.
No, there was one clear side who did it. And even the press, who's been pretty tough on Trump, have this gut instinct that, well, I mean, calling somebody a neo-Nazi is pretty harsh. No, the site is named after a Nazi propaganda publication, mm-hmm. literally. And they if you go to the site, they tell you how the Jews run things, and the Jews are the worst, and blacks are the worst, and gays are the worst, and say they're neo-Nazis. So I'm a little annoyed that it's taken this long for people to acknowledge the most obvious thing in the world.
Right.
The Daily Stormer is a pro-Nazi website.
Also, what always strikes me is the amount of emphasis there is in conservative media toward ridiculing, criticizing, and just straight out, you know, making things up about Black Lives Matter, right? So Black Lives Matter, there was one instance of a couple people who said a chant, or what was the chant? I don't even remember. Something fry 'em like bacon, right?
Yeah, about the cops.
And again, and that's it. That's all they would touch. Like, and by the way, that wasn't even an accurate depiction of Black Lives Matter.
They were kidding around with the cops who were actually escorting them in that protest. It's all totally made up to say, and Fox News said Black Lives Matter are terrorists.
That's
for
right.
a chant.
That's right. So I'm. The reason why I'm bringing that up is because the same people who publish this kind of garbage online, essentially ridiculing someone who was murdered because they were counter-protesting, are the same people who will turn around and say, oh, well, black people are violent. They're culturally defiant. They're dangerous. No, you're dangerous. You're dangerous, okay? People who make excuses for an individual who literally ran into a group of counter-protesters, those are the dangerous people, okay? I don't think violence should be used by anyone on any side, but to make these false equivalencies between, you know, neo-Nazis and Black Lives Matter is absolutely ridiculous, and they know it. They know it.
It's grotesque to even have the conversation. But look, you can say, hey, freedom of speech, you got a right to be a Nazi. Congratulations, go enjoy your right to be a Nazi. But in this case, they're condoning the violence. Heather Heyer was murdered, and they're saying, oh, she was a slut. What on God's green earth? So,
well, it gives you a sense of what they think about women as well. I mean,
let alone everything else.
Yeah.
And so, you've crossed into a different area where you are clearly, obviously condoning the violence. So, you can argue about what GoDaddy should have done, or Google should or should not do. Have at it, Hoss. You want to die on that hill of defending the right of neo-Nazis to condone violence, that's your choice. But it's. I hope you've got better things to do, and I hope you're not that bad a person. But that hope will not be met for a lot of folks in America.
All right, let's move on to the media's coverage of what happened over the weekend. There was an interesting exchange that I want to share with you guys. All right. Ken Cuccinelli was on New Day with Chris Cuomo on CNN, and another guest that was on this panel to discuss what happened over the weekend was Simone Sanders. And so the discussion was about white supremacy in the country. It was a discussion about the hate rally that took place in Virginia and the murder of Heather Heyer, who happened to be a counter-protester at the Virginia event. Now, Ken Cuccinelli seemed to disagree with Simone Sanders in regard to this rise of hate crimes in America. He seems to think, oh, well, these were isolated incidents. Simone Sanders obviously disagrees. Now, things got really heated, but I want to show you the first part of the exchange just to give you some context, and then we'll get to the most relevant part. Take a look.
You have white supremacist neo-Nazi sympathizers apparently in the White House and Sebastian Gorka and Steve Bannon. This is not just rhetoric. This is very real for people all over America.
That's an outrageous overstatement.
If you know what? In Germany, wait, Chris, in Germany, there are no statues and monuments of Nazi soldiers. Children do not go to schools named after Nazi generals. But in the United States of America, our children walk through parks, walk down streets, and go to schools named after generals of the Confederacy, folks who, if in present day, took up arms against the government, would be considered treasonous because they felt it was their right to own people that looked like me in this country because it benefited them economically. That's what this is about. And so there is no overstatement here. These are the facts.
And if we would like to.
That's what the Robert E. Lee said. That's what they were marching for. A bunch of racists and neo-Nazis
to get together. That was a local blogger who got a permit.
Okay.
So first of all, let's note that he complained that she kept cutting him off. But if you note there, actually he cut her off because she wasn't done with her statement.
And that was the beginning of the exchange. Okay. So it basically starts off with her making, you know, her argument. He interrupts her a couple times. And then later on, when she interrupts him, he doesn't take so kindly to it.
So before we get to that, let me just say substantively, they created this monster, this Frankenstein, with their Southern strategy and, let's go pick up the Southern white voters who are disaffected by the civil rights movement. And now two different RNC chiefs have apologized for the Southern strategy because it was clearly racist. Mm-hmm. So now the Ken Cuccinellis of the world come out and go, what? Did we do a racist strategy that wound up having the Republican Party be the home of the racist? It's not exclusively racist in the Republican Party, not at all. And there are well-meaning people and there are Christians who think that their pastor told them to be a Republican or God wants them to be a Republican. There are people who are just greedy and want tax cuts, no matter how much money they have. There's a million reasons. Some people like war, right? But where are the overwhelming majority of racists in this country? They reside in the Republican Party. And it's not an accident of fate. They went and tried to appeal to them, and they did. That's what Simone Sanders is partly pointing out here. That's why Ken Cuccinelli is so upset, not because she's talking over him. He interrupted her.
That's right. So let's take a look at the second part of this exchange.
What is your point of disagreement exactly?
Right. Well, my point of disagreement is that that was an excuse to bring these groups together. The local blogger who got the permit to protest the removal of the Robert E. Lee statue then blew this up. That was an excuse. Look at the how they got the permit. And can I finish, Simone? Will you just shut up for a minute and let me finish?
Pardon me, sir. You don't get to tell me to shut up on national television.
And so
I'm sorry. Under no circumstances do you get to speak to me in that matter. You should exhibit some decorum.
Simone,
white supremacy won this program. Simone, and under no circumstances.
Ken and Simone, hold on a second.
You need a reset.
You need a reset.
So look, Simone obviously gets upset there, understandably so. And part of the reason for that is, well, anybody tells you to shut up, you're gonna get upset, right? But the other part of it is because it's a well-worn tactic of the right to filibuster on TV and to speak for as long as humanly possible so the other side does not have as much airtime. In this case, Simone spoke plenty, she did, right? Mm-hmm. But frustrated by that tactic, Cuccinelli, who you know, as part of his party, they've all done that over and over and over again. When it's turned on them, he's like, well, you can't do that to me, I do it to you. So why don't you just shut up? What do you mean white supremacy? I mean, I just liked it. One of the guys who were in the rally, they said, no, I'm just trying to protect how things were. So I'm not a white supremacist, I just want to protect our power. No, maybe you don't understand what you're saying, but that's, and Cuccinelli is from a very right wing part of the party who thinks, who is she to tell me what I can and can't say on TV? And so why don't you just shut up about it?
Also, what she was saying wasn't even opinion. She's literally sharing accurate historical happenings and how we got to where we are right now. And so, you know, he wants to minimize what's going on, minimize away. But the reality is there is an uprising of white nationalists in this country. Things got incredibly violent over the weekend. People are now concerned for their safety. They're concerned to speak out or worried to speak out. And so you can pretend like it's not a problem at all. But I think, you know, Republican politicians like Ken Cuccinelli know it's a problem, and they're okay with that problem. That's how it appears.
So if you're not okay with it, then you should chase those people out of your party. But you've let them vote for you all these years, and you've stood by quietly as that happened. So don't pretend that all of a sudden you're aggrieved and shocked and chagrined to find out the racists are on your side. And as you protect the Confederate statues of people who fought to keep slavery, don't pretend that you're shocked and chagrined to find out the racist on your side.
Right.
By the way, to be fair, I did once tell someone to shut up in an interview.
You did, yes.
And that was 10 years ago, and it was because he was doing the right-wing tactic of never letting the other side speak.
Right.
And so I told him that I'm not gonna let him get away with it. You know who that turned out to be? Jay Sekulow, who is now Donald Trump's lawyer. He was a fringe, absurd character, not taken seriously back in the day. Now he's the lawyer for the president of the United States. So the things that go bump in the night are real, and they're in the White House.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break.
Yep. All right, when we come back, more updates on this, including that touching letter from the dad disavowing his white nationalist son. All right, back on the Young Turks, we got a quick story for you guys in this segment, which is both radio and online. And afterwards, we'll have many of the follow-up stories for the online audience at tytnetwork.com. What's next, Anna?
All right. Those who attended the hate rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, are now facing some of the consequences for being identified as neo-Nazis or white nationalists. One of those individuals is actually a former employee of Top Dog, which is a hot dog chain in hot dog chain. Now, he worked at this hot dog chain in Berkeley, and apparently the Twitter account, Yes, You're Racist, identified him, put up his photo, and then his employer was notified that he took part in this hate rally. As a result, he was fired. His name's Cole White, no longer works for the company. It's interesting because a lot of these guys are super young, like college aged, early 20s, late teens, and look, you put yourself out there in this way, you're in a public place, you have no reasonable expectation of privacy, there are consequences for your behavior.
Yeah, and so you have a right to freedom of speech, and nobody stopped you from going to the rally. You went to the rally, you were proud of it, and you don't have a right to hide your identity. And you know, I've been to rallies, political rallies, people take pictures of me, that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. I'm at that rally, I'm in public. Now, you know, I don't know about it, contacting their employer. I wouldn't do it. I don't. That's not the direction I'd go. But if the employer finds out and doesn't want that person in their establishment because they think it'll drive down business, I believe that's called a free market.
Right. And also, look, everyone, regardless of what you get involved in publicly, risks losing their job if they're identified, right? And so, I mean, if I was at this rally and someone took my photo and posted it all over the internet, and then you fired me, can I cry about you firing me?
Well, that's their expertise. So they will cry and cry and cry. They're like, what? I just wanted to hate black people and Jews and gays in peace. Now, what? You're not going to let me do that? No, no, you're missing it. We are going to let you do that. It is a free country.
Yeah, the government lets you do that.
But
right?
I'm pretty sure the Top Dog is not part of the United States government. And so, you have a right to freedom of speech. You don't have a right to be popular. You don't have the right to a particular job. You don't have a right to force a private company to do your bidding.
You also don't have the right to criticism, right? So if you participate in any form of political speech, people get to criticize you. That doesn't mean that your freedom of speech is being violated. That's not the government banning you from saying those things. It's private citizens or your employer practicing their First Amendment right by criticizing your form of speech.
So if you're proud of it, keep on being proud. But that's the situation, and Top Dog apparently not proud of it. Young Turks, we'll be right back. All right, right, guys, we're back. And you know that last break's always super short. And I've got some great tweets for you guys. And finally, Gabby Morita gets a t-shirt. So, all right, you'll see it in a sec. Davey M says, the president never loses sight of the real victim in this tragedy, himself. Right, because they all, like, oh, my, why am I getting criticized? Just because I wouldn't call out the Klan. Oh, boo-hoo, I'm the victim. Casey Kumpel writes in, Cuccinelli needed a tall glass of shut up juice. That's funny. Everybody go watch Mad as Hell, the documentary about us, and you'll see a reference to that. And then Gabby wrote a wonderful tweet. Call Confederate statues what they really are, the world's largest participation trophies.
Ugh. Wow. Nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, like, hey, we participated in the war, we got our ass kicked, and we were traitors. But can I get a statue anyway? I never thought about it that way, Gabby. Excellent, excellent tweet. Let's get her a t-shirt of her choice. ShopTYT.com for TYT merch. And member shout outs today are Julie DiMaggio and Jason Tekever. So Jason and Julie, much love. We'll talk to you guys in the post game, as we do with everybody who's a member. TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. White nationalists or neo-Nazis who decided to participate in the hate rally in Virginia this past weekend are now being identified online, and it has some consequences. For instance, they're being called what they are, racist or neo-Nazis or white nationalists, and apparently they don't like being called those names. In fact, they completely disagree with the way they're being portrayed in the media. Now, I'm gonna give you two examples of these guys, and you can judge for yourselves whether or not you consider them racist. Now, the first is a student at the University of Nevada at Reno. And he's actually prominently featured in one of the photos of the hate rally that's being, basically shared on the internet. It's gone viral. Here's what he has to say about the image. I came to this march for the message that white European culture has a right to be here, just like every other culture. It is not perfect. There are flaws to it, of course. However, I do believe that the replacement of the statue, meaning the statue of Robert E. Lee, will be the slow replacement of white heritage within the United States and the people who fought and defended and built their homeland. Robert E. Lee is a great example of that. He wasn't a perfect man, but I want to honor and respect what he stood for during his time.
Well, he stood for slavery. Now, I know that there's a lot of revisionist history saying, no, it was for states' rights. State right to do what? Oh, right, keep slaves. And Robert E. Lee, yes, was a very good tactician on the battlefield, kept the South in the war far longer than their resources should have kept them in the war. Mm-hmm. So you could, I guess, look at Genghis Khan or Attila the Hun or Rommel. Or Stalin at Stalingrad, or Robert E. Lee, and say, hey, well, that was better military tactics than we would have expected. He's a good tactician. And if he had won, they would have enslaved all these people and made sure that they did not have any rights or freedom or liberty. And we would get to own them and rape them and lynch them and do all the things that Robert E. Lee and all the Confederates wanted to do to them. Don't pretend he didn't fight for Confederacy. Don't pretend he didn't fight for slavery, because he did. So when you say you want to protect that heritage, well, what you're saying is very, very clear. Was there a part of Robert E. Lee that I missed, that he's, you know, just loved, maybe he loved planting, gardening. And that's why this guy likes him. He's like, he's misunderstood. He was really a better gardener than he was a Confederate general. Mm-hmm. But that's not what he's known for. He's known for protecting the Confederacy.
And he's known for being a traitor to the country. That's what the Confederates were. They were traitors to the country. Right?
And by the way, the country is called America.
That's right.
And so you're going to celebrate traitors to America. Don't you dare chant USA, USA, because that's the exact opposite of what Robert E. Lee and the Confederates stood for. I know a lot of folks in the South are touchy about Robert E. Lee, because they're like, oh, but he was such a great general. Oh, if we could have just kept our slaves if Robert E. Lee had won. All right, screw you and that ideology. And yes, that is racist. And when he talks about how they defended, how they built their homeland, well, that's also not really true. You got slaves to build your homeland. because those Confederates were lazy. They were thugs who through violence enslaved other people, and they were lazy sons of bitches who didn't want to do their own work. So understand what you're defending. And if you're still okay with that, that's fine. If you think that's not racist, okay, we have a difference of opinion.
Also, I just want to quickly comment on the first part of his statement, because he said, I came to this march for the message that white European culture has a right to be here. Okay, so I agree, but who told you that white European culture is barred from the country and doesn't have a right to be here? Because I don't know, maybe Alex Jones told you that, and you're drinking that Kool-Aid, and you've bought into the fear mongering, and you're so afraid that you're gonna go ahead and join a march where, you know, people literally get murdered for disagreeing with you and counter protesting.
Hey, snowflakes, first of all, 44 and a half out of the 45 presidents were white Europeans. So you run the country for a long, long time. And by the way, we're unlike you are decent human beings and think, I'm not gonna judge a person by their race. And so if there's a great white candidate like Bernie Sanders, we love him and we support him. We don't make those same kind of racial assumptions that you guys do. You know what you do? You play identity politics. And you're all snowflakes when you say, oh my God, white European culture is being trashed because somebody said happy holidays to me. Wait, somebody didn't say happy? No, somebody said happy holidays to me. Can you imagine how offended I am? Because it should be Merry Christmas. Make the Jews say Merry Christmas. Make the Muslims and the atheists say Merry Christmas. What? I'm just trying to protect white European culture. I see what you're doing.
Maybe we're just not seeing how difficult it is to be a white male in the United States.
Oh, so difficult.
It's very
hard. I mean, all those CEO jobs. But Steve Bannon says Asians are taking some of them in Silicon Valley. Mm. How dare they? I thought you wanted to celebrate meritocracy. Not so much when it's not whites.
No. All right. He also continues to say, I hope that the people sharing the photo are willing to listen that I'm not the angry racist they see in that photo. Take a look at graphic 4 again. Not an angry racist, you know, just holding a torch in the middle in a sea of insanely racist white dudes who, anyway.
Okay, look, just let me be super clear about that.
He doesn't look angry at all.
No. If you're an idiot white nationalist out there and you're watching this video and you think, no, how do you know they're racist? They showed up with torches in an homage to the Ku Klux Klan. The NAACP doesn't show up with torches. Great white leaders in this country didn't show up with torches. The Klan shows up with torches. They showed up with torches to defend a Confederate statue. And then they chanted blood and soil, which is a Nazi chant. So here's where you should have gotten off the train when they handed you the torch if you didn't want to be called a racist. Here's where you should have gotten off the train when they were chanting White Lives Matter as if they're the, you know, it's an obvious way of trying to say, haha, blacks don't have no legitimate grievance in this country. Okay, fine, a lot of you like that chant because that's just, you know, not white nationalism as Haas calls it, light nationalism, right? Okay. How about when they chanted the Nazi chant? How about when they chanted against the Jews? The Jews will not rule us. Look, I'm not saying everybody in that crowd chanted that, and maybe some of them didn't hear that chant. But they did chant those Nazi chants. Those are all opportunities to leave if you weren't a racist. But even if you didn't hear the chants, even if you want to make a million excuses, they handed you a torch at a Southern rally in honor of the Confederacy. That is not subtle.
You are also a student from Nevada. You're a student from Nevada, which means you spent your resources to fly to Virginia just to participate in this march, right? So I'm not buying this whole like, no, I want peace and love for everyone. And BS, that's complete BS. He knows it. He just doesn't like the backlash that comes along with showing your face in public while you're associated with a hate march.
Yeah, right. And let me just be super clear about other things. He didn't run anybody over, okay? And not everybody in the crowd did, and if you want to say, hey, I got a right to be for white nationalism and white supremacy, just say it, man. Just at least be honest about it. Don't go to that rally and then pretend you're not for white supremacy. So that's all we're asking for. I'm not asking for anything more than that. I'm not asking for anybody to lock you up. I just want you to do what you did at the rally. Raise your hand with a torch and explain that you're for white nationalism, which you are. And you said, you just say, but despite the fact that I've told you everything that I'm in favor of, I don't want you to hold it against me. No, you don't have that right. You have the right to freedom of speech. You don't have a right to be liked.
All right, and then the second guy is actually the president of college Republicans at Washington State University. He's upset that people are referring to him as racist. Let's go to graphic 10. He says that he identifies as paleoconservative and right-wing libertarian, not as white supremacist or alt-right, a term that he feels is a slur.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope his feelings aren't hurt, though. I mean, did you get triggered by that? Did you get triggered before you picked up the torch or after you picked up the torch?
All right, let's move on. A father has disowned his son after finding out that he participated in the hate rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. His name is Pierce Teft. And he has openly condemned his own son because of his participation in white nationalism. He wrote a letter out to the public in regard to how he feels about all of this. And he says, I have shared my home and hearth with friends and acquaintances of every race, gender, and creed. I have taught all of my children that all men and women are created equal, that we must love each other all the time.
All the same.
Oh, all the same, sorry about that. Evidently, Peter has chosen to unlearn these lessons, much to my and his family's heartbreak and distress. We have been silent up until now, but now we see that this was a mistake. It was the silence of good people that allowed the Nazis to flourish the first time around, and it is the silence of good people that is allowing them to flourish now.
So this is a hell of a thing for Dad to have to write. It is that, just like he said, it's heartbreaking, man. And you wonder, you know, what did I do wrong? How did my son turn out like this? And to disavow someone that's your child, it's really something you never, ever, ever want to do. But if there's a time to do it, it's when your son's a Nazi. So it takes great courage for him to be able to do that. Now, other people do it under irrational circumstances. So Alan Keyes, a well-known conservative, disavowed his daughter because of the way she was born. Mm-hmm. She was a lesbian, and so he said, oh, God made you that way? No, then I hate you, and I never want to see you again. And so now, in this case, Pierce Teft is doing it out of love instead of out of hate. And he's saying, we taught you that everybody's equal, which is the core of America, and we taught you to love people, not hate people. And my guess is they're trying to shake him out of the cult-like, mm-hmm. you know, hatred that he's glommed onto. And these guys, some of them online, they're groupthink. They have their talking points. They say the same thing over and over again that they were taught by alt-right websites. They can't see how ironic half of their statements are. And then they'll say things like, you know, I'm for white nationalism. But don't call me a racist. No, by definition, that's racist. I mean, the next thing you're going to say is, I'm a Nazi, but don't call me anti-Semitic.
So Pierce Teft continues to say that his son, Peter, is not welcome at our family gatherings any longer. He even shared a personal story that I think takes a lot of courage to share. He says that his son once joked, the thing about us fascists is, it's not that we don't believe in freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want. We'll just throw you in an oven.
So, I want to give credit to Pierce Teft here, because it takes courage to call that out, especially when it's in your own family. And I want you to understand the heavy warning that he's giving us. And it reminds me of a story I read about a German industrialist who the Nazis showed gas chambers to. And they were bragging to him because he's an industrialist and he's part of the machinery of Germany's industry at the time. And he was a person in power. And they were showing him how well the gas chamber worked. And as he saw the people screaming and it took 20 minutes to die and their fingernails buried in the walls, right afterwards, he immediately got on a train and risked his life to tell the Americans, you have to come invade us. that what they're doing is horrific. Mm-hmm. So people who believe in that ideology, they're not interested in a battle of ideas. They're not interested in a debate. They're not interested in freedom of speech. They believe in violence. And violence is what we got at Charlottesville. And so here's a kid who was at that rally by the words of his own dad and then an uncle as well. And many people in the family, unfortunately, have come forward and said, no, he's dangerous, because they think violence works. We can't seize power with our ideas. They are deeply unpopular. So they think we seize power through violence. So it's up to us to make sure, us meaning all of America, the government, just decent people in America, to say you're allowed to believe anything you want. It's a free country. You're allowed to say anything you want. It's a free country. But you're not allowed to take violent action. And that's where we draw the line. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in Charlottesville this weekend. So, and this is a family saying, we're drawing the line. You're allowed to believe those things, son, but you're not allowed to be in our family and spread that kind of hatred to other people that come to our house. In other words, the dad's saying, not in our house. Mm-hmm. We should say that across America. All right.
I think we're done.
Okay. It's a crazy day. Okay. We'll have more for you. We didn't even get to a story today. We didn't prep it because we knew, we had a sense we didn't have time. But Trump goes after another ally, doing himself further damage. We'll tell you about it tomorrow. The good news is he's so dumb that TikTok. I really, and you could say, no, it's naive, it's not right. But remember, I'm not the naive guy. I'm the one who said Trump could win. And I'm here to tell you, time's running out on him. He's crossed too many lines and too many allies. So we'll tell you more about that tomorrow. And of course, in the postgame, we'll have more for you guys. All right, bye-bye.